Nos gozamos en el Señor, amén. Hoy, today, we're going to look upon the words of God in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Okay? And I've called this message, The Blessings of Suffering. You recall that not too long ago we had a sermon that was named The Blessings of Sickness, of being sick, of ailment, okay, like we call it in English. Las bendiciones del sufrimiento, Primera de Pedro 4, versos 12 al 19. Chapter 4, verses 12 through 19. Okay? So as soon as you have your Bible, the right chapter, gracias David, we'll stand up and we'll read it. I'll read the first one, number 12, and you the next one, and we'll do that till we complete up to verse 19. Okay? Primera de Pedro 4, okay? Vamos a leerla en español. Primera de Pedro 4:12, porque yo entiendo que la mayoría de las Biblias aquí son en español. Primera de Pedro 4:12 dice el primer verso: Amados, no os sorprendáis del fuego de prueba que os ha sobrevenido, como si alguna cosa extraña os aconteciese.
Si no gozaos por cuanto sois participantes de los padecimientos de Cristo, para que también en la revelación de su gloria os gocéis con gran alegría.
Si sois vituperados por el nombre de Cristo, sois bienaventurados, porque el glorioso Espíritu de Dios reposa sobre vosotros. Ciertamente de parte de ellos, Él es blasfemado, pero por vosotros es glorificado.
Y que uno de vosotros padezca como homicida, o ladrón, o malhechor, o por entremeterse en el evangelio.
Pero si alguno padece como cristiano, no se avergüence, sino glorifique a Dios por ello.
Porque es tiempo de que el juicio comience por la casa de Dios, y si primero comienza por nosotros, ¿cuál sería el fin de aquellos que no obedecen al Evangelio de Dios?
Y si el justo con dificultad se salva, ¿en dónde aparecerá el impío y el pecador?
De modo que los que padecen según la voluntad de Dios encomienden sus almas al fiel Creador y hagan el bien.
Amén. Let's pray. Señor, en esta hora, Lord, in this time, we are asking you that you lead us through this message with your Holy Spirit, and that you guide us to all truth that is contained in your Holy Word. So we ask you in Jesus Christ. Amén. Amén, amén. Nos podemos sentar, mis hermanitos. Fíjense, there is a very good parallel between what we have just read and 1 Thessalonians that we were just studying, 2 Thessalonians as well. Okay? So it doesn't come as a surprise that Peter was talking pretty much about the same situation that the church in Thessalonica was passing through those days. Okay? And as you will see, okay, it's the same situation that is right now alive and about to be, you know, unleashed in a more formal way throughout the whole church around the world. Because the Bible tells us that it is so important that we consider this heeding and that we heed these words that were written for us and for this time and for this very hour. Because the very same Bible, if you read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, which were the ones that we were just studying last Tuesday, okay, dice allí en español, dice, por respecto a la venida del Señor, la venida del Señor, okay, related to the second coming of the Lord, okay, and our gathering with Him, okay, it relates to the second coming, okay, and one of the events of these last days, okay, is that we will be gathered with the Lord in the air, as 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18 actually says, and we believe that it is the future for all believers. Okay? And it will be one way for those that have been dead and those that are still alive. And you know that we studied that. But what it says here in español, dice, os rogamos, hermanos, respecto a la segunda venida del Señor, que no os dejéis mover fácilmente de vuestro modo de pensar, bendito sea el Señor, ni os conturbéis ni por espíritu, ni por palabra, ni por carta, como si fuera nuestra, en el sentido de que el día del Señor está cerca. Y este dice, nadie os engañe en ninguna manera, porque no vendrá sin que antes venga la apostasía y se manifieste el hombre de pecado, el hijo de perdición. It says, in plain words, okay, the Lord is coming, our gathering with Him is coming, but it won't happen. Okay, don't you be deceived in any way, and loosely translating from Spanish. Because it won't come until we have the apostasy. Until the apostasy happens. Until people who are actually professing to have faith actually disengage and actually contradict, criticize, and persecute the very same faith that they were once professing to have. When? Well, it's happening in a lot of places. It's happening in Puerto Rico. It's happening throughout the world, that people who used to say that I believe in the gospel, I believe in the Bible, they no longer say so. And they are, you know, adamantly and militantly going against those that do. Should that come as a surprise? No, it shouldn't come as a surprise. It was actually prophecy. So here it says that in addition to the apostasy, el hombre de pecado, which of course we know firsthand, if we go to Apocalypse or Revelation chapter 13, we'll know about this man of sin, the Antichrist, okay? And in a lot of places throughout the Bible, you can find that. If you go to chapter 13, verses 1 through 10, okay, it describes in a very graphic way who that man is, how does he look like, what characteristics, what traits does this man have, okay? But one important verse in those first 10 verses of chapter 13 of Revelation, Apocalipsis 13, okay, if you read verse 6 and 7 and 8, okay, 6, 7, 8 are the ones that relate perfectly to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 1 to 3. And if they say in Spanish, y abrió su boca, number 6, abrió su boca en blasfemias contra Dios, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, para blasfemar en su, de su nombre, de su tabernáculo y de los que moran en el cielo. 7 says, y se le permitió hacer guerra contra los santos y vencerlos, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. ¿Vio eso? También se le dio autoridad sobre toda tribu, pueblo, lengua y nación, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And if you look into 8, it says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Y lo adoraron los moradores de la tierra. ¿Quiénes? Todos. Excepto, ¿ok? Los que estaban escritos en el libro de la vida. Aquí lo dice de otra forma. Dice, los que no estaban escritos en el libro. Those who were not, whose names were not written in the book of life, are the ones who ended up following this Antichrist, this beast. Okay? The beast of Revelation, which is the same as it's been referred in verse 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. El hombre de pecado, the son of perdition, el hijo de perdición es ese. Ahora bien, if that it's in the future for the church, because this man hasn't revealed himself as of yet, so this is still in the future, so all this apostasy is barely starting right now, and all the tribulation and all the persecutions and all this war that the Antichrist will make against the saints is about to start. It's at hand. So when you read in 1 Peter chapter 4, let us go back to that. Okay, it actually says in verse 12 Dice, don't be surprised, okay, no se sorprenda del fuego de prueba que os ha sobrevenido. As if, you know, a strange thing was happening to you. Loosely translated from Spanish. I mean, don't be, you know, amazed that, oh, are we supposed to be enduring all this persecution, all this tribulation, all this criticizing, all this mocking? I mean, is that what the children of God should actually be passing through? Isn't that something that should be, you know, given to people that do wrong things? And believe me, today a lot of Christians actually think that they are not to endure any of these because they are better. They are better because they have been saved by Jesus. It's true they have been saved by Jesus, but if you would follow that same Jesus word, the same that saved them, you would read them and you will study and you will find that there is indeed a tribulation period for the church as well. Okay? Now, instead of debating dates and when and exact sequence of events up to the point, you know, what it's very evident here is that the church will endure some of the tribulation. As to how many, how much, okay? The Bible says that there will be tribulation and then great tribulation. And then it's when the wrath of God will be downpoured onto the earth. And we know that we have not been, you know, laid aside for wrath. We know that, right? The Bible tells us. So that's why we know that we won't go through that heavy-duty tribulation period, because that has a different purpose. And if you recall, when we were studying 1 Thessalonians, it said that there was a judgment for the children of God, for the church. That judgment, okay, which the Bible in 1 Thessalonians calls tribulation, okay, it uses those two words to describe pretty much the same event, but with different effects for different people. Okay? And we found out that when we know, the tribulation works in one way for those who are not saved, because it defines them clearly as the one that are the tools of this tribulation against the saints. Now, the effect that the tribulation has on the saints is a blessing effect. And that is what was briefly described in 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, but that Peter describes in better detail, in greater detail, in 1 Peter chapter 4. That's why we're naming this conversation we're having the blessings of suffering. Because since the Bible tells us that all things that happen to the Christian, all things that happen to the saints, okay, actually work for good, in no matter what condition, loosely translated, todas las cosas les ayudan a bien, a los que conforme a su propósito son llamados, to those who are called. And the Bible actually clarifies that for us in chapter 4 of Peter. So I will go briefly, not in a lot of detail, but I will let you know, as far as the Bible goes, about that blessing of being in suffering. So I ask you now, are you suffering enough? And you will say, nah, I'm pretty much all by myself, and I'm pretty much at ease right now, like I said in military terms. But the Bible just told us that it won't be long until you are no longer at ease. Okay? Because this is coming, and be sure and rest assured it will come. This war against the saints that will be happening, and we are just starting to have these first glimpses, these first glances at what it will be. Now, when it finally comes, we need to be prepared, and we need to be very, very clear about what is the purpose and what it should produce in us when it comes. And that's the purpose of 1 Peter chapter 4. Now, the first blessing, if you read the first 6 verses, okay, of chapter 4. We didn't read those, okay, but as an introduction, if you would scan over those, okay, we will see that the suffering is actually for purifying the saints, para purificar los santos. Now, why is it that we need to be purified? Or what do we need to be purified from? From sin. Okay. From evil doing, from wrongdoing, for having the wrong thoughts, the wrong glances, the wrong words, the wrong behaviors. You know, everything that goes against God's will. We need to be purified by that. The church is being purified as we know it, even now, even today. Okay? Now, there are some that still think that going against this, you know, this command from God, this will of God, this judgment of God, that the church be purified, they think that that's commendable. In that they are lacking and they are loosening, I would say, you know, the standards of the Word of God, and bringing in thoughts, ideas, and behaviors from the world. It is analogous to what happened to the people of Israel when they were starting to possess the land that was given to them. They were asked by God to what? To do what? You know, to expel all the pagan nations. Expel them all. Do not make friends with them. Okay? It would sound harsh, you know, and too hard for today's politically correct minds. In that, you know, one people would come and say, you know, this land was given to me, and it doesn't matter that you live there, because God gave it to me. And I need to ask you to move. If you don't move, I'll move you. And that's pretty much what happened in God's will. But the people of Israel didn't heed the Lord's wish. And eventually, you know, they got tired and weary of carrying out that wish, and they settled down. Except for one notable exception. But pretty much they all settled down and made friends with the people that were not supposed to be friends. And the church, in more ways than one today, is doing that in a lot of places. Making friends with people that are not our friends. Okay? So, that suffering purifies the chosen ones. Why? Because it is those that were supposed to be our friends, or that in some circles would be called friends, that are being used as tools for this suffering and tribulation. And let me paint it to you, you know, very, very, very clear. If, by experience, you are obeying God's word, you already know what the consequences are and what the profit that you are gaining from this word is. Okay? If you are obeying God, and the word is not obeying God, things are not going to go better for you in terms of treatment, consideration, making friends, and everything. Okay? So, if you abide by God's word, it will eventually end up that you are suffering, being persecuted, being mocked, okay? In a lot of ways. And believe me, in Puerto Rico, you know, mockery is very subtle. It's since we are so involved in sarcasm, okay? In Puerto Rico, if you know Puerto Rican, they are 100% sarcastic pretty much all the time, and that's the way we speak. So they use sarcasm as a joke, as a hidden joke, as an internal joke, or whatever it is. But they mock you all the time. I remember they were asking me the other day, about a month ago, Tito, how's the church going? Do you have your Mercedes yet? So if you catch my drift, I mean, what it means is that pretty much the word expects that the only reason for someone to be pastoring a church is to get rich. And why would they say that in their right mind? Oh, because they know of a lot of the wrong examples that we see all the time taking place around Puerto Rico and around the world, that people are using the gospel to get rich. And that is wrong. But if we were to abide by God's word, we would be persecuted. Okay? Now these very same people, they know, I my reply is, you know better. Tú sabes más que eso. Okay? And then they say, oh yeah, I know, just checking. I mean, there are people that hear the word of God every time, every single day at work, but they don't want to believe. Should we make friends with them? No. Why not? Because they are not children of God, because they are not saints. I mean, they don't have the faith and they won't follow God's word. So why should we make friends with them? Okay? And sometimes it sounds harsh, but I recall that maybe like 3 years ago we were preaching a series and studying the Bible on this very same term. We should prefer those that have been saved, okay, by the blood of Jesus against anything else. Okay? And I even went on to say the bold statement that that includes family as well. Okay? And some people were like, that's a little bit too hard to believe. But if you seek God's word, actually the family is the family of God. Okay? It's like that. Because if our family, if my family, my blood family, doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe in the Son of God, and eventually dies in their sins, I won't see that family when I am in eternity. So, what good does to me a family that is not believing God right now? But it's our, you know, our commitment and our, you know, our delegation from God to actually win them for Christ. Okay? That is why we need to speed it up. Now, suffering purifies the saints. You read through 1 through 6, okay? It says in verse 5, dice, pero ellos darán cuenta al que está preparado para juzgar a los vivos y a los muertos. It's relating to those that are being used to persecute you. Okay? Bendito sea el Señor. And if you read, okay? In verse 4, dice, a estos les parece cosa extraña que vosotros no corráis con ellos en el mismo desenfreno de disolución y os ultrajan. They are surprised that you are not following their ways, and that is why they speak evil of you, says in the King James Version. Okay? So, el sufrimiento, suffering, is for the purification of the saints. Okay? Because suffering actually worked that way with all the saints of antiquity as well. If you recall and you search out, okay, either be legend, either be tradition, or either be written history of the faith of the apostles, for example, of the faith of the very first members of the church, you will find out that eventually most of them actually died violently. And why was that? Because they were not following the same excesses and the same sinfulness of those that surrounded them. So they had to pay what they say today, the ultimate price. Now, suffering purifies the saints, and suffering actually identifies us with them. If you read Hebrews chapter 11, you will find out some pieces of history of those saints of many, many, many years back. Okay? Another purpose for suffering. Okay? Suffering unifies the church. Okay? If you take a look, you just need, you know, a very, very, very random sampling. Okay? The church that doesn't feel that is persecuted, I mean, if you look, take a close look at them, they are all doing the same things that any people without faith would do. Okay? And you can't convince me otherwise because I've been there in those places too. Okay? And we fought against all that many years. Praying, teaching, exhorting, you know, and trying to get them, you know, to actually believe the word of God and do it and live it. But it wouldn't happen. Why? Because they were content with the way they were behaving for many, many, many years. And why is that? Because suffering is not welcome, and without suffering, you are not able to be identified with the true saints, because the saints are bound to suffer in one way or another. Do you like to be with people that are suffering? People today, you know, they move away from suffering a lot. I have family that are like that, close family. Okay? They can't stand anything that is wrong, anything that is, you know, a stress. They can't withstand any stress. They can't withstand any suffering. They can't withstand anyone yelling, screaming, or pain, or whatever it is. Okay? In one way, I say it in a jokingly manner, but it's one of my close relatives is like that. Now, but in the real world, okay, people don't like to be with people that are suffering. But we are not like all people. And since we have already known that we have been chosen for suffering because that glorifies the Lord. Okay? Because that allows us to obey Him in times where there are not many people obeying Him. It separates them from us in the way that we are glorifying God with our lives. Now, at the same time, we need to suffer because the world is not in this focus of glorifying God. So that's it. That is why we are bound to suffer. People would say it's only logical that if you go against the government, okay, you are bound to suffer. And we read about the revolutions in Puerto Rico here. The Grito de Lares Revolution in 1868, right? El Grito de Lares, and they rose against the Spanish rule in Puerto Rico at that time. So what happened to them? They were in prison, okay? Some of them were killed, and eventually most of them were released, but they kept on suffering throughout life because they were already marked, okay? And they were known as the one who started the riot. Now, in 1950 in Puerto Rico, okay, we had another uprising that happened, in different counties in the island. In Jayuya, it started in Jayuya, 1950, okay, and eventually it also happened in the White House. Okay, so and this had already started in the years before, so. Did they pay for that? Oh yes, they paid. Pretty much all of them were killed for that. And I'm not questioning whether they were right or wrong. I'm not questioning the ones in Grito de Lares in 1968. I'm not questioning the ones in the nationalist uprising in 1950. Okay? And I am not applauding what they did. But certainly because of what they were doing, going against the established government, they had to pay for that. Now, if we, as saints of the Lord, go against established government, you are bound to pay for that and are bound to suffer. But the Lord is so good that He uses that suffering to purify you and also to unify the church. If we read 7 through 11, okay? It says, el 7 dice, mas el fin de todas las cosas se acerca. Number 7. Sed pues sobrios y velad en oración. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch upon prayer. And number 8 says, and above all things have fervent charity. Okay. Ferviente amor en español. Among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Porque el amor cubrirá multitud de pecados. And then it says in number 9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. Dice, según el don que ha recibido, ministrelo a los otros. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Como buenos administradores de la multiforme gracia de Dios. And it's saying this as a way of protecting also the church against those attacks, against the persecution. And at the same time, it's enhancing the unity of the church. It's enhancing the fellowship. Okay? It's asking the saints to pray one for each other, to stand and watch one from each other. Okay? To make sure that my brother here at my side is following the word of God and is praying and it's doing okay, even though he may be or she may be persecuted. I am, and the church is, praying for him, for her, making sure that we are going in the narrow road together. So suffering reunites and makes stronger the bonds of love among all the saints. Okay? That is the purpose of suffering. So, at this point we may ask, would the church do okay without suffering? And then we have to say, no, it won't do okay without suffering. I mean, it would sound nice. It would sell very well. That is why it's precisely used as a selling tool in a lot of gathering places. I don't call them churches, because church is a gathering of the saints. And those that preach that, you know, you can do whatever you want and nothing will happen, I mean, they are not the true church. And those that preach that, come, be with us, and you will have so many money that you won't be able to know what you do to do with it. And like we say in Spanish, you won't be able to get rid of it, even if you go and dump it every single day. It will be coming at you so fast that you won't have enough time or strength to give it away. Who wouldn't like that in their natural mind? But in their right mind, okay, the mind that the saints should have, it doesn't make any sense, because that is not what the people of God were commissioned with. They were commissioned to pray the gospel and make disciples and glorify God with their lives. What does material, you know, prospering would have necessarily with the children of God? Not much. We know indeed that we need, you know, money to make things happen, because we are living in this world that uses money. But eventually we won't need any money at all. So why do you start by loving money now if you won't have it in eternity? That is one of the, you know, one of the logical reasons why you shouldn't love it. You need it. Ask the Lord to give it to you for glorifying God, not glorifying you. And that is one of the reasons. So, if people are being sold a church that can live and can do whatever it wishes and pleases, a lot of people will like that. Okay? And those will be the saints that persecute the chosen ones, the true saints. Okay? And we hear every single day, oh, you believe that you are better than me because you do so and so, or because you call yourself this and that, and because you think you study the Bible, and because you pray, and because you refrain from, you know, being together with a lot of people that we are together with. Oh, you think that because you do that, you're better. And we hear that all the time, most of the time indirectly. Okay, and I've been able to see that a lot through email. Okay? A lot through email. Okay, there are some emails that actually come saying, oh, that website you have is great. It has all these Bible studies. And then they say, oh, this website you have has a lot of Bible studies, but they happen to go against what I believe. And I say, well, is that good or bad for you? Sometimes. If the Bible study, if you can show me, I answer one of them, if you can show me that those studies are not based in the Word of God, then you may have a point. But if you are just complaining that they are true biblical for your taste, that's another problem. And then there you have your answer. I mean, you have to, you know, examine yourself to see if you are following God in the true faith. And then, no, but that's what you say, and you know the arguments. I mean, it's a never-ending story. Because those that do not want to heed what the Bible says, especially about suffering, because they know they have to pay the price. Have you heard that? Saying that goes, people do not want to pay the price. La gente no quiere pagar el precio. It's only logical too. If you go to the supermarket and you want to have a nice hamburger, you don't go for the ones that are labeled budget, right? Because it sounds nice. Oh, budget. I need to save money. Who doesn't these days? But if you go there and buy the budget ones, you would be better buying off just bread. You know, using bread within bread, because it's mostly bread, but it's there. It isn't meat. It is mystery meat. So you're praying for mystery meat. If you really want, you need to pay the price. If you really want a good hamburger, you need to pay the price for good quality meat. I mean, and it's an analogy only. In that, if you want to enjoy an abundant life, okay, the life that the Lord has prepared for you beforehand, then you must pay the price. And I'm not trying to say that you must win something by paying the price. I am just trying to say that if you want to live a holy life, if you want to be a saint, if you want to be a tool of the Lord, not a tool of tribulation for those that are saints, you want to be a true tool in the hands of the Lord, then you must pay the price. There is no way around that. So that is why, if we have a group of people that are trying to please God, to glorify Him, they are passing suffering, they are united, and they can be called a true church. And that is why the saints actually stand together against all suffering and all persecution. That is the blessing of suffering. Without suffering, we will be each one for ourselves, just running around all the place. And that way, the work of the Lord wouldn't be able to be done if we were just going, you know, one way or the other, going different ways and not going to the same, through the same road altogether. That is one of the blessings. Another one of the blessings of suffering. So far, suffering is good, right? And a lot of people will say, you know, it is now coming down to the point that it is not beginning to make sense anymore, right? Suffering. So if I would say to you, hey brother, how about a little suffering now? You would say, and you would say, yeah, it's not that I like it, but I know it does good to me. It's like medicine. Right? I remember that when I was small, I was very, 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 very skinny. Down to the point of actually worrying my parents at the point. Okay? And we come from a culture that if you were not, like we said before, gordito y colorado, you know, like fat and with red cheeks, if I may loosely translate it, if you were not like that, then you were not eating enough. You were an esmayao. Esmayao is someone that was fainting all the time because he didn't have enough to eat. So it was a disgrace. Okay? And believe me, at the time in Puerto Rico, most everybody was in disgrace because everybody was living like that. So, but then afterwards, during my times as a kid, I was very skinny. And they used to give me cod liver oil. Okay? Scott's emulsion. Okay? And at that time, we didn't have the blessing of having like cherry flavor or the flavored versions. They tried to remove all the objective smells. Okay? And then we had the blessing of having it like in gel caps. But at that time it was, abre la boca, mijo. Open wide. And it would go down. Was it good? Yes, I have to say, was it good? I mean, in the effect that it produced. But in swallowing it, no. And you read a parallel in Revelation also to this book of the judgment that God will be, you know, throwing and raining down on earth. That tribulation, the church will endure some of it. That is why that little book, when John swallowed it, it was sweet in one way, but then bitter in the other. It was bitter sweet, agridulce. The tribulation period will be agridulce because it will confirm that the plan of God, this portion of the plan of God is actually happening, and because of the suffering we are enduring, it confirms us as saints. Okay? And it unifies the church. And it purifies the church. It has all these blessings for the church that is sweet. But it's bitter because it is not an easy period to be passing through. Okay? Suffering is not easy, but it's blessed. Okay? That is why we must preach like the Bible is actually telling us that it is. Now, the last main and most important thing is that suffering glorifies the Lord. Okay, so now so far we've known suffering purifies, suffering unifies, and suffering glorifies the Lord in this case. And that is the portion that we read, verses 12 through 19. Okay, it said in verse 12, okay, no os sorprendáis del fuego de prueba. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Okay? Lo que ha sobrevenido, o sea, está empezando, bendito sea el Señor, this suffering is just barely starting, it's at hand, okay? It's about to start, and don't be, you know, amazed, don't be, strange, think it not strange, don't be thinking that exactly something that was wrongly delivered to you, like a package, that it was wrongly delivered by the mailman. No, this is not mine. This is my neighbor's. Okay? It's actually yours. So the Lord is asking the church to endure the suffering because it glorifies them. That is why in verse 13 it says, but rejoice. We need to suffer, but rejoice. It says, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. You know what is that? When he comes down to fetch his church, and you have passing through all this suffering, glorifying God, then when you, and you see, and he calls the church to go up in the clouds and meet with him, you will go, you know, in a proud way. I am not so proud in a bad manner. I say proud in a way that you have been enduring whatever suffering has been raining down on the church. So you won't be ashamed of anything. Okay? You recall, we hear all these tales about the wars. Okay? And then we have soldiers that were enlisted and were at war at the front, but didn't have the chance to see combat action. Okay? They were there. I mean, they traveled, they had boot camp, they, you know, spent, you know, very short nights, they had the watches and everything, rifles, all the training, but then again, for some reasons, they didn't have the chance to go to the front and have, you know, enduring combat with the enemy. Most of these people, and there are exceptions, some of them say, I'm just too glad that it didn't happen to me. I mean, I didn't have the chance to go to the front because I didn't want to, but the true soldiers who wanted to do their best for their country, okay, invariably will come down saying, you know, I didn't do what I needed to do. You know, I made all the preparations, but I didn't do what I needed to do at the time when it was asked of me. And it doesn't matter whether it was a plan and it didn't happen because his superiors actually, you know, didn't make it real, that it couldn't materialize because of some war plans. It didn't matter. The thing is that the soldier was supposed to be suffering and serving, you know, his army, his government. It is the same for saints. It would be an awkward, and I'm not here preaching about judgment or dividing or knowing or finger pointing, but it would be a very awkward gathering, a very awkward moment if you are gather up with the Lord in the clouds, and then you are there and you feel like you have been given a free trip, and you have been indeed given a free trip because you didn't have to do anything to win salvation. But I mean, the Christian that is always fleeing from suffering, that is making friends with the Lord, I mean with the Word, in order not to suffer anything, I mean just to have an easy life, an easy way out of everything, and not confronting and not calling sin for what it is, and not, you know, directing, you know, all those that needed directing and some counseling, you know, strong wording and direction. If we don't do that, if someone doesn't do that, and the day of the Lord comes, it will be an awkward feeling, to say the least. Now, we need to glorify the Lord with our suffering. That is what it says. Gozaos, but rejoice. Now it says in verse 14, si sois vituperados, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Sois bienaventurados. You see, anytime, that is why Peter and John, okay, they were whipped, okay, because they were doing what the Lord asked them to do, okay? They were preaching and they were healing people through the power of God. And the world didn't want them to do so. So they took him away and whipped him. And they were just, you know, just rejoicing. Rejoicing. Oh, we have been chosen. It could have been anybody, but the Lord chose us. So we need to be happy. And it goes beyond needing. It goes to show that we are indeed happy. And they were, you know, very happy to have been chosen to suffer for the Lord. That should be, and that needs to be, our stand and our mindset as well. Okay? And believe me, I heard once that suffering is a very good indicator of whether you are in the true faith or not. And I say, if you think the word's true back and forth, it is. It is. People are always trying to find ways for verifying things. Okay? If you look into a brand name and you buy a box of cornflakes, there are many, many brands of cornflakes. Okay. But what do you need, what do you look for? You want the original brand. So it needs to say Kellogg's, right? And then, you know, and it has to have a serial number and whatever. Okay, and if you buy, you know, any other ones, then you need to abide by that quality and that flavor and whatnot. But if you want the true original one, you need to buy Kellogg's, right? And the same goes, if you are buying a new PC, okay, and you want to make sure that you have the genuine Windows or whatever operating system it is, it has a sticker on the side. And it has a strong adhesive. I mean, it can be removed without being destroyed. And it has a hologram and a serial number. Okay? That is the seal of authenticity for the operating system in the machine. If you are being sold a machine that doesn't have that seal, or the seal has been tampered with, okay, or defaced or whatever, chances are you are buying a machine that has some pirated software in it. Okay? And you are breaking the law. You have, you know, an unauthentic system, an illegal system in that way. Now, where it goes here is that if you want to verify things, there are signs that tell you so. The Christians can be verified pretty much in the same way. One sign for Christians is that person a friend of the world or not? That is one sign. Does he or she love all the other saints in the church? That is another sign that the Lord gave us in John chapter 13, that we know, of course. Is he or she preaching the Bible? That is another sign. Is he or she suffering? That is another sign as well. Okay? So there are many signs for you to identify those, okay, that have been chosen, that are saints, there are people that have been washed in the blood of Jesus. Okay? Now, one last thing that Peter tells us, okay, is that if we are enduring suffering, we do not need to be ashamed of it. Okay? And that suffering may be, you know, that they lay you off for a job. They lay you off of a job, you don't need to be ashamed of it. If they lay you off from a job by you doing something wrong, that is another thing. I mean, it doesn't apply what is being said here. But if you are there and you are glorifying God, and because of glorifying God, you are not compromising anything, and they have to fire you because of that, then the Lord is glorified. And not only that, He will find a better place, a better job for you. Okay? And we need to believe that. Okay? And that is true in most of the things that we do. And I have to say most because we still do some things that are wrong. Okay? That is why we need to keep on praying every single day and have to go to the Lord every single day. But we need to be rejoicing and we need not be ashamed of las pruebas. Okay? Ahora bien, lo último que quería decir es el verso 19. Dice, de modo que los que padecen según la voluntad de Dios encomienden sus almas al fiel Creador y hagan el bien. Cuando dice de modo que los que padecen según la voluntad de Dios, ¿a quién se estará refiriendo? A los hijos de Dios, que son los que sufren, que se supone que sufran por la voluntad de Dios. Así que nos está hablando a nosotros. Fíjese que ya Pedro presume que los hijos de Dios tienen que sufrir. A él lo da por sentado. ¿Ok? Y créame, si nosotros vamos a obedecer la voluntad de Dios, vamos a sufrir. El justo padecerá persecución. Lo vimos en Filipenses 1:29. A vosotros os es concedido a causa de Cristo no solo que creáis en Él, sino que también padezcáis por Él. Por eso es que es importante que usted nunca se quite de la mente estas cosas. Mire, hermanito, hoy en día, como están las cosas, para darle un ejemplito con ese término, para dar las cosas, porque a veces uno dice, ¿y sufrimiento en qué forma, pastor? Por ejemplo, hoy en día la economía está tan apretada, las economías de cada familia, por muchas razones, ¿no? Estuvimos viendo algunas de ellas esta mañana. Pero las economías están tan apretadas en estos tiempos que muchas personas se ven tentadas a hacer lo que es tan típico en Puerto Rico, a empezar a moverse en la economía subterránea, ¿eh? A comprar productos pirateados, a traficar con cosas, ¿me entiende? A tratar de evadir las contribuciones. ¿Ve? Hay muchos comerciantes, que yo lo sé, porque muchas personas se pasan diciéndolo, ¿verdad? Y como es ciertamente posible, pues hay que creerlo, de que en realidad cobran el IBU y después no pagan, o no lo pagan todo, porque el gobierno no tiene forma de verificar si lo están pagando o no, no tiene la empleomanía suficiente. Y como no tiene la empleomanía suficiente, no me van a coger, no me van a chequear, pues yo me lo robo. Y muchas personas se están tratando de defender. I am defending myself. I don't know para qué, ni de qué, ni de dónde. Defendiéndose. Y lo que en realidad están haciendo, I mean, we could be tempted, podríamos ser tentados a adoptar todas esas cosas. Financially speaking. There are a lot of ways that we could make be and make better if we don't obey the law. Okay? That way we could keep more money to ourselves and then we could live better, right? But what is the right way? Oh, the right way is to abide by the wishes of the Lord and obeying Him. And because of that, you need to suffer. Because then you would have less money to do things. But at the same time, the Lord would do much greater things with that less money than if you had all the money in the world. Okay? And that is the situation with everyone that wishes to obey and glorify God. Okay? And that is one way, just as an example, of why is it that you can suffer in more ways than one in this world. Okay? That is why you must obey Him and be, you know, I'm missing the right word, consciente, aware, being aware, okay, that suffering has three main points. First one is purifies the church, purifies you. It's a good thing to happen to you. Second, it actually unifies the church, okay, so you will have your brothers and sisters actually loving you strongly and more strongly every time. And thirdly, okay, it glorifies God if we suffer. So suffering is good in more ways than one, we can say, for you and for the Lord. So if it were by that, let's go suffer. Would you like to come suffering with me? Would you like to suffer? Do we like to suffer together? And I have to say amen. When's the next big suffering? Let it come. Huh? That way we can say that, and we can say with a smile in our, you know, lips. Because it's true, I mean, we will be blessed by it. Okay? Now, when that suffering comes, it comes sometimes in, you know, in cartloads, sometimes it comes you know, very slowly. But no matter where, no matter what, and no matter when, okay, remember this. When you're suffering, okay, for the cause of the Lord, okay, rejoice. Rejoice. And I would like to hear the testimony. Oh, I am passing through this and that, but I am so joyful and so happy and so blessed that I could only ask for more. Okay? And that should be the right way of mind. The way of mind of the Christian. Okay? So I leave you with that. And I am asking the Lord that actually, you know, you hit by these words and you are actually doers of the word, not only hearers. No solamente oidores, sino hacedores de la palabra. Okay? So let's stand in prayer. Le damos gracias al Señor por su santa palabra. Bendito sea Él. Bendito Dios. Vamos a orar. Padre Santo, en esta hora está tu iglesia aquí reunida, Señor. Dándote gracias, Padre, por tu palabra y por la bendición de haber podido estar reunidos, Señor, todos aquí en esta mañana. Gracias, mi Padre Santo, por tu palabra. Porque tu palabra nos bendice, y tu palabra nos exhorta, y tu palabra nos redarguye, y tu palabra nos abre los ojos, Señor, ante la realidad patente del mundo. Muchas veces el mundo nos empaña los ojos, y como que tenemos un ojo bueno y uno medio turnio, Señor, pero tu palabra nos afina los ojos, y nos afina los sentidos, y nos afina, Señor, la mente y el corazón para aquellas cosas que ya tú has dispuesto, las cuales no nos deben tomar por sorpresa, y las cuales tú has puesto para bendición y santificación y gloria tuya, Señor. Te pedimos, Padre Santo, que de la misma manera que muchos santos, Señor, en la antigüedad, fueron tenidos por dignos de padecer, Señor, por tu nombre, permite que nosotros así sea también, Señor. Oh, Padre Santo, y que seamos fieles a través de la tribulación, a través del sufrimiento, pero que a la misma vez gozosos, contentos, Señor, enorgullecidos de que hayamos sido seleccionados a pasar por la afrenta, Señor. Te damos gracias, Padre, porque si no hubiera sido por Cristo, ¿cómo hubiéramos podido decir tal cosa que no hace lógica a la mente de este mundo? Pero, Señor, tú nos has transformado y nos has dado, Señor, y nos has puesto la mente de Cristo, de tal forma que podamos pensar, Padre Santo, y al ver tu palabra, saber que todo esto lo has dispuesto tú. Bendice, Señor, ahora tu santa palabra. Bendice a todos los que han estado con nosotros, Señor. Guíanos, Padre Santo, en el camino, a nuestras casas, Señor, a donde fuéramos en esta tarde. Danos un día de bendición, Señor. Tráenos de vuelta, Padre Santo, este martes, a estudiar tu palabra, el jueves a orar, oh Padre Santo. El domingo de vuelta, Señor, a glorificarte. Bendícenos, Señor, en todas las cosas, Padre. And we ask you that you bless us, that you guide us, that you use the suffering to do what is meant to do. Purify, unify, and glorify you. And sanctify and purify us. So that we may live throughout the week. That we please you in every way. That you guide us, you protect us. And you bring us back this Tuesday and Thursday to praise you and worship you even more. Todo esto, Señor, te lo pedimos en el nombre de Jesús. We ask you in Jesus' name, amén. Amén, amén. Que Dios me les bendiga, mis hermanos. Estamos bien contentos de estar en la casa del Señor. Salude a los hermanitos y que Dios les bendiga.